Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power and wisdom to preach. I pray the Word of God will be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Speak to our hearts. Fill us with thy Spirit. Draw us to thy side. Help us, O God, to be what we ought to be for thee. Help us to love thee like we ought to love thee and serve thee like we ought to serve thee. We'll thank you and praise you for it. Give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for the last week or so, I put a CD in my car. She's got the Honda. The other one's mine. And it's by a group called Three Bridges. And they got a lot of talent, but I don't like most of the songs they sing. But there's, matter of fact, there's only two songs on that whole CD that I like. But one of them is called "I Feel a Little Song Coming On." And it's a little song about Paul and Silas in prison. And at midnight, they're singing praises to God, and the earthquake comes, and, you know, the passage we just read there. And that little song's all about Paul and Silas and the earthquake and God getting them out of jail and all that. And I've been listening to things. It's a what we call a fluff song. There's not a whole lot of message in it. I mean, it doesn't just reach down and stir your soul. But it does make you feel good all over. I mean, it just makes you want to pat your foot and feel good and thank God. You know, I mean, you just want to raise your hand and shout. And songs like that are good, you know. What is it? Kingsman used to sing that song, "Need a Real Good Feel Good Song." And sometimes you just need one of those. Well, anyway, I've been listening to that thing off and on. Every time I get in my car, I just turn the CD player on there and punch number 14. And it comes up and it plays, "I Feel a Little Song Coming On." And it's just, it's real catchy, got a good beat to it. And I've enjoyed it. And of course, I have a unique advantage over a lot of y'all because I don't have any musical ability. I can't play any instruments, and I can't sing. But I have a real advantage over you because I can't remember any of the words to most of them songs. And so I can listen to the same CD for months. And every time I get in there and listen to it, it's like the first time I ever heard it. Okay? So I get a blessing every time I turn it on. It's not like a rerun. My wife, she puts them on shuffle and stuff so that, you know, it goes from song to song to song because she can remember all that stuff. I can sit there and listen to the same track five times, and five times I said, "Glory God, ain't that good?" I just don't remember them. So I just been getting me a real blessing out of that little song, "Feel a Little Song Coming On." But it got me thinking about that passage of Scripture. And a good gospel song will help you think about God and the things of God and the Word of God. Every gospel song ought to have somewhere some kind of a basis in the Bible anyway, amen? And this is a real scriptural little song they sing. And so I got to thinking about it. When I wasn't listening to the song, I was thinking about the passage. And I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, "And at Midnight." And at midnight. So that's what it says there. And at midnight, they sang praises to God. Now, you know, in Christian circles, we have our little sayings. You know, if you hang with NASCAR, they have a little vocabulary. If you hang with people who do a lot of target shooting and stuff like that, they have their own little vocabulary. They talk about things, and if you're an outsider, sometimes you don't know exactly what they're talking about, you know. If you've ever had a hobby or followed a particular sport, they have a certain jargon that they use in that little group. And if you're in it very long, you pick it up, and then everybody knows what everybody's talking about, but somebody that walks up from the outside, sometimes they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Amen? And in Christianity, when we say, "It was the midnight hour," or "It was my midnight," what we mean is it was a dark time in our life. It was a hard time. There was a tragedy in our life. There was a problem in our life. There was a testing in our life. When we say, "Man, it was his midnight hour," or "It happened, it was the darkest night of my life, it was midnight," generally speaking, what we're talking about is there's some disaster, there's some calamity, there's some trial, there's some tribulation that has come into our life, and it's just about overwhelmed us, and it's dark as midnight, and we can see no way of deliverance. We can see no way out. It's midnight, the darkest hour of the night, and no matter how hard we try, we just don't see a solution. We don't see a way out of the situation. And we say, so it was the midnight hour. It was midnight in my life. I got to thinking about that, listening to that little old song. And so I ran through the Bible, and I want to give you a little message entitled, And at Midnight. And I've got six midnights here. I remember, it must have been 25 years ago. Well, I like being able to say that, don't you? 25 years ago. I know I'm talking about my Christianity. I've been saved that long. In just a few more days, we're going to celebrate our 39th birthday. I'm going to be 39 years old in the Lord. Glory be to God. Now, I wish I'd have got saved when I was 6 or 7. But I'll take 27 better than nothing. Amen. Anyway, what was I talking about? About 25 years ago, I heard this fella preach, and he preached on the four midnight cries in the New Testament. And he preached one, and he preached two, and he said, now this next one doesn't really say midnight, but it's a midnight situation. And I thought, you know, that just deflated me. Why would you call it the four midnight cries if there wasn't but three? So I got six midnight cries. Bless God, I got all six of them. Amen. I just want you to know that. We're not going to fake any of them. I learned a lesson from that fellow, though. You know, you just, because when that guy said, now this third one doesn't really say midnight, you could hear everybody in the audience go, huh. It just kind of deflated it, you know. So I've got six midnights here. Number one, there's the midnight of despair. Over in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible said, and at midnight the Lord went out into the land and smote all the firstborn of Egypt. He did that at midnight. Now, boy, that's a sad time. That's a bad time. The midnight hour had arrived for Pharaoh and his crew. They had been rebellious. They'd been obstinate. God had dealt with him time and time and time and time again and tried to get them to submit and let his people go. And Pharaoh would lie about it. He had promised to let them go. Then he'd change his mind. And it was just back and forth. And finally God said, okay, enough is enough. Tonight at midnight, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to slay all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh and his people, if they'd had any sense, would have known that God was going to do it. He done told them 9 times, I'm going to do this and this and this, and he did it every single time. You're talking about a slow learner. Pharaoh and the boys wasn't right bright, son. I mean, they just wasn't the sharpest tool in the pack. They don't let Israel go, so at midnight, God sends the angels out, and they dispatch all the firstborn, not only the people, but the cattle and everything. Go back over there and read Exodus, man. I mean, God took the firstborn of everything that had breath in it. And the next morning when they come in and looked and all that baby was dead, there was a cry, there was a lament, there was an agony that swept across the land of Egypt. I mean, household after household after household. Here's little babies and little boys and little girls that are dead, that died in the night. Thousands of them perished. Boy, you could almost hear the weeping and the wailing, the horror and the sorrow that took place in Egypt that night. Say, what happened? Their midnight hour had come. And it was a midnight hour of despair. They had rejected God's will. They had rejected God's counsel. They had rejected God's man. And the midnight hour had come. I'm here to tell you, if you live and breathe, sooner or later, midnight hour comes in your life. It comes in regards to salvation. I remember when my wife and I got saved. She got saved a couple of days before I did. She's always trying to be one up on me. And she got saved before I did. And that night she sat there and Bill Pace witnessed to her. And I looked at her and I've never seen such terror on anybody's face in my entire life. And she looked at me and she looked at Bill and she was weeping and crying and her eyes were just, it was just heart-wrenching to watch her. And what she was wrestling with, she knew she ought to get saved. And I think she'd already made up her mind to get saved, but she was afraid that if she got saved, she'd lose her husband because I was so adamantly opposed to religion. And she was battling not about getting saved, but about losing her husband. And so she fought that thing, and finally, about 25 minutes after 11, she bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to save her, buddy. Tears flowing down her face, and it was the midnight hour in her life because she thought, if I do this, I'll be saved, but I'll be single. I can get saved, but I'm going to lose my husband. I'm going to lose my family. But it was just too great a price to pay. She couldn't afford to take a chance on going. Say, what? Why is that? Because she was convinced in her mind, down to the bottom of her toes, this was her last chance. If she didn't get saved tonight, she would never, ever, ever have another opportunity. God had been dealing with her for several years. She was a nervous wreck, a mental basket case, been in the mental hospital, all kind of nervous breakdown. All that because God was dealing with her and she was running and fighting it off and putting it off. And she knew that night, it's now or never. It's midnight. That's the midnight of despair, buddy. That's the midnight when you think everything's gone. This is it. This is the bottom of the barrel. This is the last shot. Boy, sometimes there's just things come in your life that you can't overcome. And so you have midnight hours in regards to salvation. I like to see people that's had a real gone good fight with the Lord before they got saved. Now, I thank God for folks who get saved the very first time they hear the gospel. And I believe some folks do. But I don't know, there's something about folks that I've known over the years that had a running battle with God for a while, that resisted and fought and tried to outmaneuver him, and God finally corners them. I don't know, something about them, when they get saved, they're different. Somebody say amen right there. You can have midnight in your life. Boy, you think everything's good and everything's great, and all of a sudden, out of a clear blue sky without warning comes a tragedy, a calamity, a situation in your life. You didn't see it coming. You wasn't expecting it. You never dreamed of it. Of all the bad things you thought might happen to you in your lifetime, this was not on the list. But here it is, and it's in your front door, it's in your face, it's in your lap, and the midnight hour has come. And it's overwhelming, it's overpowering, and what it does, it puts you in kind of a state of despair. It's you just don't know how to deal with it. Then there's the midnight cry of need. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible said, there's a little story there. Fellas in bed to sleep, it's about midnight, and at midnight, company comes, and they're all hungry. They come by IHOP and it was closed. They came by Shoney's and it was closed. And they had a Wendy's down there that said 24-hour service, but they didn't lock the door on it and they was cleaning up. They got there, you know, when they say open 24 hours, it's only 23 because they closed down for an hour to clean up. And sure enough, this fella got there at midnight and the thing was closed down. Then have a bite to eat. So he goes and knocks on his friend's door and the guy gets up out of bed to let him in and he got nothing in the house to feed him. They starving. So he goes next door and he knocks on his neighbor's door and he said, hey, buddy, I hate to bother you. I know it's late and everything. I know you're in bed. He said, but I just had this whole family of folks come in and they hungry and they famished and said, I got to give them something to eat. And IHOP's closed and could you help me out? At midnight. Is that inconvenient or what? And at midnight, company comes. At midnight, this guy goes knocking on his neighbor's door to get a bite to eat. And the Bible said he wouldn't give it to him because he was his friend. They just wasn't that tight. I guess that made that guy feel good. You know, if he read the Bible before he passed away and saw that story in there, he said, "Man, I always thought me and that boy was tight, but I guess we wasn't." Anyway, the fellow said, the Bible said he wouldn't give it to him because they were buddies, but because of importunity. That is, because the guy, he knew the guy was in a fix and the guy was going to keep hounding him. He said, "I'll give it to him to get him to go away and leave me alone so I can get back into bed." Amen? Now, the thing is that at midnight, this guy has a need. You know, a lot of times at midnight, when our midnight hour comes, when we're in that hour of despair, when that tragedy comes, when that situation comes that we're not up to handling, what we have is not sufficient. The trouble comes, the midnight hour arrives, and we're sitting around looking, and we don't have the wherewithal to handle it. It's bigger than us. It's badder than us. It's meaner than us. It requires more than we have to give. And we're sitting there in the midnight hour, and we are in desperate need. And so here we are, this fellow's the midnight hour of need. And the situation has arisen. It came up suddenly. It came up, and he's unprepared and ill-equipped, and he can't handle it, and he has to go someplace else to get some help. I thought, glory to God. Thank Jesus that when the midnight hour comes and you're overwhelmed and the skies are dark and it's the darkest midnight of your life, there's always someplace me and you can go get some help. Amen. We are never alone. We are never forsaken. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus Christ said he's a very present help in the time of need. He's a God of all comfort and a God of all mercy. And I've got me someplace I can go when the midnight hour comes and I'm in despair and I have a great need in my life. I have got someplace that I can go and awake the Father, and he will give me that which I need. Then there's the midnight of thanksgiving. In Psalm 119, in verse 60, the Bible said, "And at midnight I will arise and give thanks unto God." Now, the Bible said that we are to be thankful in all things. It didn't say we had to be thankful for all things. Hey, some things come along I'm not a bit thankful for. I just want you to know that. I would just assume God had skipped me with it. Amen? If he'd wanted to give my problems to somebody else, wouldn't bother me. I'd pray for them. Amen? Some things, I've heard people say, "Well, we're supposed to be thankful for all things." I thank God. I read that and I said, "Oh, thank goodness, that guy's got it wrong. He misquoted it." I don't have to be thankful for all things. But it did say be thankful in all things. So what does that mean? That means that when the midnight hour comes and you are in need, when it looks like the world is coming to an end and you don't have a solution and you don't have a way out, you can go and call on the Lord, and the Lord will arise at midnight. And what you're supposed to do right then and right there in the midst of all the trouble, give thanks unto God. So be thankful for what? Thankful that he's there. Thankful that he hears. Thankful that he will arise. Thankful that he has what I need. See, when that fella got up and went next door, he knew that fella had bread. Buddy, when I get up in the midnight hour, when things are overwhelming, when your heart is burdened down, when you're broken, when you can't sleep and all your peace is gone from you, and I wake up in the midnight hour, I can knock on God's door and he has what I need. But what I need to do right then is be thankful. I'm thankful that I know God. I'm thankful that God knows me. I'm thankful that God has what I need. I'm thankful that no matter what my situation and how dark my midnight, my God can awake and turn on the light. Be thankful in all things. I'm not thankful that my son is in prison. I'm not thankful that he had an aneurysm. I'm not thankful for any of that. But I can sure be thankful in it. I'm thankful that I've got a God to turn to and ask for help. I'm thankful I've got a God that can do all things and he can reach down and touch that boy's body. Amen. I'm glad that when I'm tired and weary and overcome and diswrought, I'm glad that I've got a God that can give me comfort and sustain me and keep me. Amen. It's midnight and it's dark and we're alone and afraid and overwhelmed, and we knock on that door and God arises and gives us what we need. Let's be thankful to our God. Then there's the midnight of deliverance. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, which was our text, Paul and Silas are in jail. Well, now you got a serious problem here already, because every modern-day Christian, every modern-day independent, fundamental little doohickey out here that's as self-righteous as you can be, we know that if anybody's got trouble in their life, if you know some Christian that's in jail, and this, it's because there has to be sin in their life. They have to be out of the will of God. Amen. Nobody's more self-righteous than us good old fundamentalists. Well, somebody tell me what Paul's sin was. How come Paul and Silas are in jail? What foul deed did they do? So they didn't do nothing. They in there for standing up for God. Yeah, how about that? How about that? In jail for standing up for God. Well, you ain't going to see too much of that in our day. But now, at midnight, they in jail. Now, they done been beat up. Yeah, you ever try to put your, you ever been hurt or wounded? You ever been in a car wreck or something maybe and got banged up and bruised? And when you first, the car wreck first happens, or maybe you fell off of something, when it first happens, you get up and you say, well, it hurts, you know, I got a bruise here and that kind of hurt. But it's not too bad. But then you go someplace and sit down for 2 or 3 hours. And then you start to get up and you say, so quick, old timer. Hurts. So what happened? Well, I've had time to swell. I've had time to get stiff. I've had time for the soreness to settle in. And boy, everything you start to do is that. You say, man, when it first happened, I didn't think it was so bad. But I got up this morning, I couldn't hardly move. Amen. Now, Paul and Silas done been beat within an inch of their life. They laid on them many lashes. And then they throwed them in an old, cold, dark prison. Cold, damp, floors made out of stone and dirt. They've been in there for hours. They're innocent, haven't done anything wrong. Man, they got more reasons to have the mully grubs than anybody you've ever met. They could be sitting there saying, now, Lord, you know we were out there preaching for you. We were out there telling the truth. We was trying to get folks saved. We're doing what you said. We're going into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. And look at him. They done beat us half to death. They ain't fed us. They didn't bind up our wound. They throwed in this old dark dungeon in here. And they got that old reprobate sitting down there with a key and a sword. And you're just not treating us right. You'd think that, listen, I'm the prince of the apostles. Amen? I'm going to be the chief writer of the New Testament. Look how you're treating me. Now, they could have been in there with the mully grubs. They could have been in there bad-mouthing. You know they felt bad. They done been beat up. They hungry. They can't figure out anybody's going to help them. I mean, you get in them jail, son, it's like going to one of them prisons down in the Congo. You probably ain't coming back out. Like going to jail down in Mexico. Unless you got somebody with a lot of money to bribe everybody, you're going to be there till Jesus comes. Amen? And so, boy, Paul and Silas in there, and they could have been licking their wounds and whining and crying, but what'd you find them doing? It said about midnight, they said, feel a little song coming on. Paul and Silas began to sing. And they must have been singing with that Holy Ghost power. Because in just a matter of a few minutes, there was a great earthquake. You say, well, that could have been accidental or coincidental. Okay, what about unlocking all them chains and handcuffs? When's the last? I tell you what, down here in Guatemala, down here in Haiti, when they had all them earthquakes? I didn't hear about nobody going in there and all the handcuffs being unlocked. Amen. It just tore everything up. It was a supernatural occurrence. The earthquake was in response to Paul and Silas singing and praising and giving praise to God in the midnight hour. They had had an hour of despair. They were in the dark dungeon. They needed help. It was beyond them. And here they are giving thanks to God in the midnight hour, in the midst of their tragedy, in the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their despair. They come looking for help from God, and they go ahead on the credit and sing praises to God, because that God ain't done nothing for them yet. They just say, our God is good, and our God is great, and our God has promised to take care of us, and we believe that He will, no matter how it looks, no matter how dark the night. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul that my God will take care of me. And God said, okay, I can reward that, I can help that, I can deal with that. And God sent a great earthquake, and there was an angel or two in the stealth mode that went by and unlocked every handcuff. When that happened? That happened at the midnight hour. Our God knows when and how and where to deliver. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you now, having been saved almost 39 years and having had some midnight hours in my life, that our God is able and willing to deliver. What we got to do is remember that when it gets dark and it gets lonely and it gets scary and we are confused and we are bewildered and we become helpless, if we will just lift up our hearts to God and trust Him, God will see us through. God will turn on the light in the darkest dungeon, in the darkest of night. Our God can and will deliver us. Don't quit singing His praises. Don't let your troubles conquer you. Don't get so preoccupied with the troubles that you forget that God is good and God is great and God can and God will. Let's continue to give God the praise and the glory. Let's sing down the power of God in the darkest moments of our life. I didn't say that was easy to do, but it's necessary to do. I will tell you this, though, that with time and experience, it gets easier. But maybe the first time you have a midnight hour, you're not too inclined to pray and praise God. You pray and praise God anyway, and when God delivers you, you say, glory be to God. God came in my midnight hour of despair, when I had my greatest need, God came and God delivered. Thanks be unto God. Now, the next time you have a midnight hour and you're overwhelmed and overpowered, and you get in that thing and you want to get down in the mully grubs and you want to whine and complain, you can look back and say, oh, remember, I tell you what, it was pretty bad back there, but God came through. I believe He'll do it again. Glory be to God. And you watch God come and walk on the water and set you free in the midnight hour. And time after time, and after a while, you get to where you know, say, this is bad, and I don't know what to do. I'm just going to do what I've done before. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to confess it to Him. I'm going to call on His name. I'm going to praise Him for all that He's ever done. I'm going to remind Him of all the times He's delivered. And I'm going to give Him praise and honor and glory for it. And I'm going to trust that He'll do it one more time. And in the midnight hour, our God shall arise. Then last, there's the midnight of reunion. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6, the Bible said, and at midnight, there was a cry made. What was the cry? The bridegroom cometh! The bridegroom cometh! One of these days, you're going to have a midnight hour, and there ain't going to be no earthly solution for it. You know what's going to happen? The bridegroom comes. takes us out of here. One of these days, this old world's going to have a midnight hour. Buddy, it looks like it's coming pretty soon. The sun ain't setting anymore. The sun has set. We live in a dark, dark world and getting darker by the minute. We are rapidly approaching the midnight hour of this old world. Say, preacher, are you worried? Are you afraid? No, I'm concerned for friends. I'm concerned for folks who aren't saved. There's a lot of things I got on my mind, but I'm telling you right now, I am not in despair. I am not terrified. I'm not overwhelmed. Say, why? Because, buddy, for 39 years, when midnight come, I've seen God come and God deliver, and here I am 39 years later, and God has set me free, and I'm still able to preach today, and it's all because of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God, and God has sustained and kept and provided, and every time it got dark and it got midnight-ish outside, God came and set us free and delivered us, and I believe, buddy, when this whole world sees it's midnight, God Almighty will not delay. He will not tarry. Our God will come, and He will set us free. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Don't let the midnight frighten you. It looks like to me, from what I can figure out in my Bible, that our God is the God of midnights. And the Bible said, and at midnight, and at midnight, they sang praises unto God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Oh God, what a blessing it is that we can lift up our voice. We can lift up our heart. No matter how dark, no matter how deep the dungeon, no matter how dark the night, no matter how impossible the situation, you are there, and you're there to deliver. You're there to give peace and comfort, to sustain, to keep, and to deliver. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.